fighting for America.
This is a part of the war on whites that's being launched by the Democratic Party. And the way in which they're launching this war is by claiming that whites hate everybody else.
Fighting for Idaho.
Social Security is not going to be available for most people who are in their, say, under 40 today and maybe even under 50 today. And that's a danger. But we don't have the political ability today to implement changes.
Fighting for you.
That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
What will your verse be?
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
To KIDO as we get ready to go back to school. Of course, some controversy going on in the Gem State and across the country involving school lunch programs and what should and shouldn't be in there. Joining us now is Kyle Olson from the Education Action Group. Kyle, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's talk a little bit about school lunches. What's going on?
Well, what's been happening is that the two-phase reform of the National School Lunch Program is being implemented. The first phase was regulating what was actually on the tray, what was in the school lunch. That's been happening over the last couple of years. But then in July 1st was when we saw the new rules take effect regarding bake sales, a la carte items, snacks, and those sorts of things. And that's why we're seeing all these headlines about, you know, bake sales no longer allowed, and that sort of thing, because what we've got is we have the bureaucrats in Washington, D.C., trying to change the way kids are eating, and so they're issuing these rules from Washington, D.C., and they're expecting school districts across America to implement them.
Well, how crazy are the rules?
Well, they, one of the reasons we're seeing these bake sales being banned, essentially, is because sugary snacks, fatty snacks, salty snacks, those sorts of things are no longer allowed. Kids in middle schools can't buy like Gatorade or Powerade, those sorts of drinks from vending machines. And so we're seeing, you know, a lot of these changes that parents are saying, you know, what is this all about? I mean, it's my responsibility as a parent to feed my children, to make sure that they are, you know, creating healthy eating habits. That's not the role of schools. That's not the role of government.
Well, where does the First Lady come down in this?
Well, this has really kind of been her signature initiative, and this all got started back in 2010 when the Democrats were still in charge of everything in Congress, and they passed these reforms. And after they passed them, then they started implementing them. And so this really has kind of been her signature program. And she has been the one out, you know, fighting the Republicans who have been questioning it, doubling down against school districts that have been opting out or are raising questions about food waste, excessive administrative costs related to the paperwork and all of that sort of thing. But I think generally speaking, this really has been her program.
Now, what type of pressure can she or the administration put on local schools, Kyle? Is it just all about cutting funds?
Yeah, basically what it boils down to is in order to receive the federal reimbursements for school lunches, you as a school district have to abide by their rules. And so basically what the feds have said is if you want our money, then you will, you know, implement these healthy lunches. And as that has developed, what school districts have seen is, you know, huge losses for a variety of reasons. One, they've had to spend more on healthier foods, fresh fruit, fresh vegetables, those sorts of things. They've also seen higher costs when it comes to administration because there's new bureaucratic, you know, paperwork and reporting and those sorts of things. But then also they've seen a decline in sales. And so we've seen school districts losing sometimes, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars to participate in the program. And so one of the reasons that they're dropping out is because they're saying we can continue to offer healthier foods, maybe not exactly what Michelle Obama wants, but healthier foods, and we won't. lose as much money if we actually forego the federal reimbursements. And so several school districts that we've written about and others around the country are coming to that conclusion, that they can actually make out better by not taking the federal money and maintaining control at the local level.
What about the kids' reaction?
Well, generally speaking, it hasn't been positive. If you're used to having pizza every day and suddenly you are faced with a black bean burger, that's not going to go over well. And it just seems to me that there's got to be some middle ground here. I completely understand and sympathize with the argument that school lunches should be healthier. I mean, I remember when I went to school, we had pizza and fries every day.
Heck yeah!
Not exactly the healthiest thing. On the other hand, giving kids kale and black bean burgers and, you know, all of this low-fat, quote-unquote, healthy food doesn't seem to be working. But the administration doesn't seem to be too interested in actually trying to find some middle ground. They just are doubling down, and they're threatening Republicans and school districts that this is not going to change, and, you know, we're basically going to force this, make this work. And that's why we're seeing a lot of the rub.
You know, that would be great if we were on Top Chef, but not so much for the kids. I mean, lunch was something that the kids look forward to, you know, pizza day or taco day, you know, now kale day. Oof. Takes all the fun out of being a kid.
And when you do the math, you know, you take a typical, most school districts are in for 180 days. And so just doing the math, that's 180 lunches, you know, typically, ignoring half days, that kids would eat in the school. That equates to 15% of their meals. And so to think that by suddenly giving kids kale and black bean burgers for 15% of their meals is either going to cut obesity or change their eating habits, doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But that's what the administration is trying to do, and as we've been reporting, it's not working.
So as far as what's next, what's the administration's next move since everybody appears to be revolting?
Well, I think they're going to continue on. And one of the interesting things is we've been seeing that, at least according to the statistics, because of the food that the kids don't want to eat from the hot lunches, more kids are bringing a home-packed lunch. And my fear is that the administration is going to see that, and they're going to say, well, then we need to start regulating home-packed lunches. And I think when that happens, that's where you'll see the real revolt, because there's a difference between a district, you know, offering a black bean burger and not really telling kids, because behind the scenes they have to do it to get the federal money. But if you actually have a school administrator, you know, picking through a kid's lunch and tossing aside their peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or forcing them to eat a school lunch, I think that's where you're going to see a lot more revolt.
580KIDO, as we continue on, Kyle Olson with us, Kevin Miller in the morning from the Education Action Group. Doesn't the administration really, whether it's Common Core or educational standards, have other things to worry about besides the food that kids eat? I mean, let's face it, 15% of our day is lunch with the kids. That's not enough to make you a fatty.
Right. It seems to me that there are bigger problems. You know, whether it's the graduation rate or student proficiency rates. I mean, those sorts of indicators are direct indicators of not only how, you know, a student is going to be as a citizen, but, you know, how they're going to be able to maintain a job or sustain a family, or those sorts of things. But they don't seem really too concerned about that. And that being said, you know, I don't know how much of a role they have to play in that sort of thing, because, you know, that would in essence be a federal, you know, sort of program that they would be developing to deal with that. But instead of, you know, using their bully pulpit to focus on those sorts of things, hire, you know, effectiveness and that sort of thing, they're instead focusing on lunches. And what's interesting, too, is the sorts of language that the First Lady uses. You know, she has said things like, well, I have two you know, Ivy League degrees, and I couldn't even figure out what my children should eat. And it's just this sort of, you know, condescending attitude towards the rubes in America that if I have an Ivy League degree and I can't figure it out, then you, as the average parent, you can't possibly figure it out either.
I guess it really comes down to whether it's the Affordable Care Act, Kyle, or anything else here at 580KIDO. Do we have the freedom to make unhealthy choices? And a lot of it, regardless of what you eat, comes down to genetics.
Right, and that's really what this all boils down to. Anything that the administration does, as you said, whether it's the Affordable Care Act or Common Core or the school lunches, it all comes down to, do people have the freedom to make their own choices, to live their own lives? Or are we going to have these progressive overlords trying to make those decisions for us because they're smarter, or they're more educated, or they, you know, make more money, or they have more power, or whatever it is? That's what this all comes down to. It's these people, this group of progressives in control, who want to decide how we should live our lives.
Well, this brings back a fascinating point, that the educators have been put in such a dire fiscal position that they have to revolt, because let's face it, the last thing that you want to do as an educator is get involved in politics, regardless of your own personal beliefs. You want to stay out of that because it's usually a no-win.
Yeah, it really is. And that's one of the ironic things that we hear about schools is people say, you know, politics shouldn't be in schools, or schools shouldn't be political. Well, when it comes down to it, they're a political entity insofar as they're a government agency. I mean, these are government schools. You have school boards that are elected by the public. You have a school superintendent. You have state legislators that make decisions about funding and curriculum and standards and all of that sort of stuff. And so these are political, you know, organizations. And so for someone like Michelle Obama, for example, to say that, you know, school lunches shouldn't be political, well, that would be nice. Then maybe, you know, the alternative is to get the government out of education. I mean, that maybe that's what should happen. But until then, these are going to be political decisions. Teachers and school leaders need to take political stances because, you know, we as the taxpayers fund and own the schools and will control how, or we should control, we should reassert our control over how they are governed and managed.
We go to the phones here at 580KIDO. If you have a question concerning the school lunch program, do we really have a freedom to have a hot dog these days? Or and really, what are we teaching the kids? 580-5436. Let's go to Anti-Government Ryan with our friend Kyle Olson and Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, Anti-Government Ryan.
Morning, Kevin. Good morning, Kyle. So did Michelle Obama really say, I've got two Ivy League degrees and I can't figure out what to feed my kids, or were you saying that in jest?
No, she actually said that. She said that in a speech, and in a different speech, she said that she was just so busy, as at that time she was a hospital executive. Her husband was, I think, running for the U.S. Senate, and she was just so busy that she didn't have time to, you know, spend the time preparing fresh cooked meals, and so she had to buy a lot of processed meals, and she didn't like that. And so she wanted to figure out ways to provide healthier meals for kids. And so, you know, because of her worldview and her experience, then we all must be like that, and therefore we must, you know, be able to benefit from her experience. And again, it's this sort of condescending attitude that a lot of people, including me, just kind of object to, because we're not all like that. And we can look at products and meals and those sorts of things and figure out what's the best for our kids. And we don't need the First Lady or the administration or the government generally to tell us what should be best for our kids.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go ahead and piggyback off you there, Kyle. I mean, this woman must be a lot dumber than I thought, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that a carrot is a lot healthier than a bag of potato chips, or eating a peach is better for you than eating ice cream. I mean, it's not really complex issues. Furthermore, dicing up some vegetables and steaming them in a frying pan doesn't take a lot of effort. She must be a very extremely lazy individual if she can't put a little bit of water in a pan, dice up some vegetables, and steam them for 10 minutes.
Well, maybe she has somebody to do that for her.
That's not like making some big quiche or something like that. You know, I mean, that's, I mean, she must really be dumber than I thought. I mean, I guess I give you Obama's too much credit.
All right.
Guys, I just had to get to the bottom of that.
So. All right. Anti-government Ryan, thank you. Much more on the school lunch program.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Once again, Kyle Olson joining us, talking about the school lunch program. Let's go to Liberal Steve here at 580 KIDO.
I want everybody to just butt out. That includes the government and everything else. If I want a bag of potato chips and a root beer float for breakfast, that's what I'll have. You know, and 50% of marriages end in divorce. So we got women out there and men out there that don't give a crap about the family, especially, you know, especially if they get divorced with children. Let's put it this way. In nature, and I believe highly in nature, it's a woman that takes care of the children. The men, yeah, they provide and they do the best they can. But it's a woman that makes sure her children have nutritious thing. It's a woman that makes sure her children exercise. And, yeah, they do it together, but 80% of it is the woman. The woman provides for the children. That's, you know, since the beginning of time, we've got men and women having children that have no idea what they just brought into the world, and they couldn't care what they just brought into the world.
What does that have to do with the school lunch program?
That's what I'm saying. The school lunch program and the government can butt out. It's up to the mother to make sure that lunch is packed and that they have a good lunch or teach their children at home. You know, we keep voting for anything with a D and an R behind it. And, you know, if you keep doing the same thing over and over, it's insanity. That's all I'm saying. And one last thing. Crapo said he'd check into the hemp bill that he didn't put on the ag bill or vote for. Ask him that question. What'd you find out?
Senator, no, I'm Crapo. Sorry. I'm not going to do that.
Oh, why not? It's a follow-up.
One call. You should have used your one call then.
I should have, could have. You stay fired up, Kev. I love you, man.
I love you, too. Bye-bye. You make anything out of that? This is what I have to deal with every day, Kyle.
Well, I guess it's interesting a liberal would say that, because generally liberals want to control everything. But, I mean, I agree with the sentiment that, you know, the government, parents know how to raise their children, and we as a society should expect parents to raise their children and not allow the government, especially busybodies in government, to try and take over parental responsibilities. Unfortunately, that's what we're seeing. In fact, the Obama administration is making it easier now for parents to abdicate that responsibility. Because we've written about school districts in New Jersey, Florida, and others around the country that are now providing breakfast, lunch, and dinner to kids. And
okay, the need is there. However, as you're pointing out here, I mean, is that really the purpose of the schools?
No. And then they turn around and they complain that they don't have enough money and they don't have enough people and we don't have parental support and all of that sort of thing. Well, when you are usurping the power of the parent and the expectation that the parent will be responsible, what do you expect? And yet this is the way that government is going. And we will continue to get the sorts of results that we're getting where parents some parents aren't responsible. I think the vast majority still are. But some parents aren't responsible, and they seek to pass that responsibility off to somebody else, whether it's government or a neighbor or whoever.
So how do you see the First Lady handling the rejection? What's her response?
Well, she's been, like I said, she has been handling it well, because this is her reform, this is her program, and she is going to force it on everybody, whether they want it or not, and so that's what she's doing, and you know, she's getting help. There's a group called Mission Readiness, which I agree with the premise of the group, and that is that kids are too obese, and they aren't educated enough to join the military, and that's a problem. That's a national security problem, and I get that. But the problem is their solutions are Michelle Obama's lunch program and Common Core.
Well, and cutting phys ed in schools, too.
What's that?
Cutting physical education.
Well, and that's just it. So on the one hand, we're saying, no, kids need to eat this food. But on the other hand, we're not their physical ed, their gym classes are being cut. And so it doesn't make any sense. But again, what this boils down to me, is schools, public schools are governmental bodies. And government is inherently inefficient. And just as a government is a problem, and there's little incentive to innovate, to compete, to improve, and so when we try and force these things through a governmental entity, it's not going to work. And for whatever reason, some people don't either believe that or don't understand that, and they keep trying to reform government schools.
Kyle, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
I'm Andy KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Burnett with us to talk about all things manly, man. And, Dave, have you been seeing just the reaction to people? And I guess it's the latest fad, the ice bucket challenge.
You know, that has just gone nuts. Of course, we have your video of that, which you can get, I think, on our Facebook. Is it online as well?
Blog? Well, we just did it on our Facebook and then our other Facebook and then my personal Facebook.
So we got you doing that. And then I see all kinds of country artists doing it, athletes doing it, politicians. Everybody's dumping a bucket of ice on their head.
Well, and not to be outdone, we have to always, always pump up our listeners. And here is Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, that has an issue with me. And let's see if we'll...
Hello, Kevin. I've accepted your challenge for the ALS challenge. But first, I'm going to show you how they do it in the great state of Ohio, in Akron.
Now, a little insight. That's where I was born, of course. And you know this. When people ask me where I'm from, I always go, where are you from? And then I try and be relatable just because I was a military brat. So he has a...
You were from everywhere.
Yeah. So he has a little thing sprinkling here, like a little container of, I don't know, ketchup, but it's like filled with water. Okay. So it's a water bottle. Okay. So for people not watching Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, that's what it is. So then we continue.
Now here's how they do it in Idaho. I want to challenge the Honorable Brent Hill, the Honorable Jeff Thompson,
now you got your head cut.
The Honorable Lynn Luker, and the Honorable Butch Otter to join me in the ALS Bucket Challenge.
Please tell me he didn't dump that all over the little kid.
No, the little kid was right there doing play-by-play.
Okay, I thought at first, oh no! Dumped it all over the little kid, so he dumped it on himself.
Well, he had one of his grandkids do that.
Oh, nice.
And so everybody is getting a part of it. And one of the young ladies I used to work with, work for, whatever, Nancy Grace. And I kind of, she kind of wimped out on this, but let's see if we can listen to Nancy Grace doing this. Now, remember, Nancy Grace is a mean, tough guy here. So here we go.
Hi, everybody. I'm Nancy Grace, and I'm taking the Ice Bucket Challenge. But first, I'm donating $100 to ALS Charities. And I officially challenge Khloe Kardashian, David Arquette, Mr. Anderson Cooper, and Mike Galanos to do the same if you've got the guts.
Now, here's the thing with Nancy Grace, though. She puts on goggles. That's not really fair. She's putting on goggles.
Yeah.
So it gets a little better, and it's not really a bucket. It's kind of like what I used, a bowl, but everyone's a critic.
Do it! Bring it on.
And then she's got a poncho. It's not really I mean, does that count if you have a poncho and goggles?
No,
scuba
no,
gear?
No. That does not count at all.
But people are going crazy. The woman on Fox yesterday had a, you know, something to protect her hair, and then she jumped in there and did it as well. And I think Michael Strahan did it without his shirt. Now, that's kind of cheating if you can look good enough to do it without your shirt.
Yeah, well, he can, and he did.
Yeah, so
your buddy Justin Timberlake has done it. Also Martha Stewart, your good friend.
Martha Stewart.
Yeah, Martha Stewart's done it.
Now, wouldn't it be great if, well, you know, the governor is running for re-election. I wonder if he'll take up the challenge from Alan L. Morton, attorney at law.
Well, he should, because if he does, he'll get some press out of it. That would be a great press move.
It'd be huge.
And if he's up listening, because I know he does get up early and listens early. So if he's up listening, governor, that'd be a great, you know, get John Hannon, your press guy, out there with the video and shoot a video dumping a bucket of ice water. But don't use goggles and a poncho.
I'd rather pay $100 to have Hannon get dumped with a ice bucket.
Nobody knows who he is, though.
Wouldn't that be funny, though, if, and here's another one, President Obama.
He's coming back to the White House this weekend.
Exactly.
Everybody wants to know why.
And here's the other one. Would it have worked better if you could, you would pay $100 to ALS to have somebody dumped with a bucket of cold water?
Well, I don't know if you could do that. I know Ethel Kennedy, she actually, they did the ice bucket of water, and she challenged President Obama to take the challenge. But he's passing, but says they'll donate money.
Well, it is a unique thing, isn't it? Now, I'm sure someone else will come up with, you know, the pie in the face or something, but it's remarkable because it's something that everybody can do. Yeah, everybody has a bucket. Everybody has ice.
And I will give the ALS Association some great credit. Since July 29th, when this kind of took off, they've raised over almost $2.5 million. I mean, how many walkathons? How many going to lock you up in jails? How many there's a goat in your office? How many of those can you do? And this was something that just took off on social media. And from celebrities to nobodies, people are doing it. So it's kind of a cool deal.
I think it's really neat. I love what Patriot Ray did. I don't know if you caught it yesterday. But Patriot Ray did it, and he, you know, had his wife there, and she's trying to lift up the big bucket, and it's just one of those feel good things, I hate to say, that we need, and it's so simple.
It requires a bucket and ice water.
Right, but I mean, it's something that everybody can do. Most people have, you know, a phone or what have you, and you just shoot. I mean, if I can do it, the technophobe that I am. I just think it's just one of those neat things that, you know, they'll be, you know, when they come back to the 20 teens or whatever they're calling this generation, this decade, that'll be a big thing.
Yeah. You know, it does more good than planking and the other dumb things they've done. At least it's for a good cause. Here's one with the Boston City Councilman Tito Jackson. Not that one. Different Tito Jackson. Here he is in a three-piece suit dumping a bucket of ice water on his head. So people from swimsuits to Strahan to bare-chested to the councilman in Boston dumping it on his head in a suit.
Indeed. So we can go to local TV for 500, Alex, or Tony Stewart for 1,000.
Let's go local TV.
You know, it's amazing how many folks recently in local TV are leaving the market. And it's amazing that I even know who they are just because what do I do? You don't have a life, Kevin. You sit there in your recliner and all you do is watch TV. It's work. It's work. It's worth watching TV.
Who else is leaving?
Well, we had our friend Scott Evans from Channel 7. He's going to Wichita.
Beautiful this time of year there.
Yeah, Wichita. A lot of dust, a lot of tornadoes. We wish him well. Been here 7 years. 7 years. And then we had Chris Nettleton from Channel 1 Plus 1. He is going to become a professor.
Really?
And teach broadcasting, I guess, yes.
Well, yeah, he was the sports guy there, wasn't he?
Sports guy, and remember, he created a lot of buzz for personally revealing that he has MS, organized the MS walks, front page of the paper, very friendly, lovable gentleman, even though I never met him.
I never have either.
Yeah, I never met him. Well, are we sports guys?
No. I'm a sports expert. I sit on the couch and watch it, critique it.
So we've got that. Then we have local product, Bree Eggers from Channel 5 Plus 1. leaving, getting married, leaving, and going to Boston, WHDH, Channel 7 in Boston.
Well, she can see the city councilman, Tito Jackson, there dumping ice water on his head.
And cover that. And her father, of course, is an avid listener to this program, a peppermint farmer. I met him a couple years ago, and when she was on the radio, he said, "Don't tell her, but I listen to you."
You ever been out on a mint farm?
I've smelled enough mint farms.
Man, you go out when they're brewing that stuff up, that is pungent stuff.
Whew. Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Hmm.
Yeah, they get it all in the big vat and brew it up, and it's like, wow.
Well, so congratulations to all of those folks. We'll miss you. And it's interesting. Now, growing up, I think, just like airline pilots, TV people used to be bigger than they are today. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Back in the day, disc jockeys, the same thing, used to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you know, everybody with YouTube is famous for dumping ice water on their head.
They are, but I think that if you find that special, unique personality,
mm-hmm.
one being Larry, what's his middle name?
Larry.
R. Gebert.
Eustatius.
Yeah, Eustatius Gebert.
Yes.
And we, you talk about Larry. Larry, other people have tried to go out and do what Larry does, but Larry is very unique. And we don't know if Larry would work anywhere else, but Larry is a guy that people love.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that I go gaga over, and not in a coosie-coosie kind of way, is Ben Maller on our sister station, 630. I just think that he's brilliant. And I think that you still have those places for that type of talent. On this station, George Norrie, Glenn Beck, obviously. There are still places for people to fill those voids, I guess.
But they're trailblazers, or they are unique in some way. For those of us who are just cookie cutter, I mean, honestly, you know, if you're just cookie cutter, you aren't going to stand out. You have to be unique or a trailblazer.
Indeed. By the way, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, Patriot Ray is from Ohio, a proud American from the Buckeye State, so he wanted me to pass it along. So Now, for our friend Dave, who listens in Ohio every day online, there we have the Ohio shout-out. I don't know how relevant that is to Idaho, but...
I flew over Ohio once.
You know, they have that band. That band will kick, I think, half the football team's butt in Division I.
Oh, the Ohio State band? Yeah, but their leader, he's in trouble. So...
Are you ready for Tony Stewart?
Well, sure, hit me.
Now, if I were one of these people that, you know, were looking for, you know, these hits, I would do a blog, Kevin Miller, Tony Stewart in Idaho. Apparently, no one knows where Tony Stewart is. You've got speculation by some people and other people calling them haters that Stewart could be charged with manslaughter. And you and I discussed this on Monday, so I'm fascinated to hear at 580KIDO, Dave, what you have to say on who is really to blame. Mr. Ward's father, Kevin Ward Sr., father of Kevin Ward Jr., has come out and said that accident could have been avoidable, that Stewart, the guy before Stewart, swerved to miss his son, and that, again, the fishtailing, Stewart was trying to allegedly mud the kid or embarrass him, and it got out of hand. Your thoughts on various published reports, a lot of opinion back and forth.
Well, first of all, if I were you, I would go with that blog saying that you think you saw him at Walmart here in town. I would go with that.
He was in Caldwell.
Yes, I would go with that first.
Where so everybody goes to hang out, to hide.
You get lots of hits at 580kidio.com with that.
Yes.
I think he's there and he's buying a house. no, you could do that. You know, I still come back to a couple of things. Number one, it's a tragedy. Number two, somebody broke the rules by getting out of their car trying to cause attention. Number three, did Tony Stewart try to mud him? Did he try to, you know, scare him? Did he try to, you know, I don't know, and I don't know that we'll be able to figure that out. Now, obviously, those who are on the side of the young man who died, you're going to have an opinion one way. Those who are on Tony Stewart's side will have an opinion his direction. I don't know that we'll ever get all the answers. You know, people are investigating. As I see it, bad move, dumb move to get out of your vehicle. And if Tony Stewart did try to scare the kid, bad move, and he should be held responsible there. I know this will probably, I'm going to guess, Tony Stewart going to lose a lot of money over this because there will be sponsors who will jump ship. Just because of the controversy, don't want to be linked to it. Tragic situation. But I guess I wonder this again, as I have when it comes to sports, at what point are people held accountable, you know, for tragedies that take place on the field, on the ice, on the track?
Right, right. And the thing that I get back to, okay, Kevin Ward was responsible. Did he get too close? And was Tony Stewart trying to send him a message, which a lot of people have speculated? And then you think to yourself, if you were Tony Stewart, what would you do? Well, first of all, I wouldn't be racing because initially he wanted to race the next day. And, you know, then they were talking about him racing again. I would be done. And the sponsors, heck, whether they want to or not, every time they see a picture of Tony Stewart, you see Mobil Oil there. So they're getting a lot of run. And, you know, psychologically, what does that do? And let me just quickly say this, that a lot of people at that track hate Tony Stewart because he caused a wreck last year where he broke his leg. He almost caused someone to be paralyzed for life. She broke her back, the cousin of Mr. Ward. So there's a lot of hard feelings at that track about Mr. Stewart.
Yeah, and some bad choices were made in the death there. So we'll see what happens. You know, you might pack it in. You might be a Tiger Woods and call it good. Say the season's done, but a lot of money riding on that. You always have to follow the money. Kevin, your traffic now as you're coming up.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Coming up next, we're starting to see a push for safety or a smack at gun owners. Metal detectors going up at BSU. If you want to get into Albertson Stadium, you got to go through the metal detectors. We'll talk to Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. Get his take and yours next. Kevin Miller.
Serving.